just wanted to live the teenage dream.
Hey guys, this is gonna be a little interesting to record because my brother's in here and that's kind of awkward. It's like I'm not even talking about anything like scary. Well, like not anything like terribly awkward, so it's not that big of a deal. I literally put my soundproof headphones on so I could like pretend that he's not here, so I could focus. But it's whatever. Also, in all my podcast episodes, I keep moving the mic on accident, and I'm sorry for that because I know like I'm editing it and I'm like, ah! You know, because it's just like the sound of the mic moving. It's just like terribly terrible. I'm gonna move the mic right now. Well, I'm moving the cord, so it doesn't matter. Also, I found the intro that I made for this, like maybe in 2021. And I was like, wait, maybe I should start using it again. I don't know, maybe I should change it because it's kind of elderly. Today's episode is actually on growing up poor. My brother was saying like, Santa Claus doesn't care about poor people. You know how like Kanye West was like, George Bush doesn't care about black people. You know, like kind of quoting that. And we were like, oh, let's make a TikTok, but then we never did. So during the holidays, it's just like especially difficult because it's like, you know, like I love everybody and it's like, I'm not here to brag or anything. Like this is just like, Christmas isn't about the gifts, but let's not sit here and lie and be like, oh, Christmas is not about the gifts. The holiday times are not about the gifts when it's like peak consumerism. Like this is peak consumerism time. And I feel like I overcompensate for it. So I'll just talk about that in a moment though. Yeah, and that's like one of the reasons I wanted to make it, especially in this time. This episode was actually supposed to come out before Christmas, but it's December 26th when I'm recording this. So that's a bit of an issue, isn't it? It wasn't like too long ago. So from K through 6, like basically elementary school, I grew up in a low income family. And also when you're like a kid, you're not really aware of that you're low income. Like my mom literally told me like, oh, I'm low income, so I don't have to pay as much for your summer camp. And I literally went around telling my friends, like, oh, I don't have to pay that much in summer camp because I'm low income. Like, I did not care. I did not know what was going on. I was just happy to be talking and happy to be saying things. Yeah, my mom worked fast food during those times, and we were on different government programs, mainly food stamps. We weren't ever on welfare, and we were on WIC. I know that. But being poor is like also just a tough situation to get out of. Even though like I know the US provides like different programs, but you know, there are people who are still struggling because they just like make just the amount of money to not qualify for those programs, but it's still not enough money for them to support themselves or their families, which is like a whole other thing. It was just like such an interesting experience because like I said before, since I was like so young, like you just aren't aware of what's going on. But then at some point you start realizing that you don't have the things that other people have. It's either you like realize it yourself when your parents are like, no, we can't get that. And it's like, we always can't get that. And you see like, oh, wait, all these other people in my school have it, but I don't have it. So like, what's going on? Or if somebody points it out to you and then you're like, oh, wait. What? So like watching just like TV shows and all of that, you'd like start to realize, hey, why does everybody in the TV show's house look like this? Or their family dynamic is this, and like just things are different. Like, because the TV shows you watch as a kid, they don't necessarily display like people who are living paycheck to paycheck or things like that, even though it's like a common thing. But TV shows really, like TV shows for kids at least, don't display that. And you know, like I think everybody kind of knows the basics of being poor, living paycheck to paycheck, struggling to make ends meet, maybe being on food stamps or other government programs. But like there is definitely an emotional aspect and a mental health aspect that people don't talk about. There's just like little experiences that other people don't get to know about or really get to understand that you have to live through. Especially like one of the most things I don't see people talk about is like having to choose necessities. I never grew up like having floss in the house. Like, it's such a small thing. It's like 99 cents. Maybe it was cheaper back then, but like, never had it in my house. It just wasn't something that happened. Same thing with mouthwash. It was like rarely we had mouthwash. That was just the truth. Like, we just didn't have those items. Because even though they are necessities, like, or paper towels, like, I feel like this is kind of why poor people can be like more sustainable, because they don't, like, they'll just have to opt out of like the disposable version of things and have to use like the reusable version, because you're gonna throw it away. So why use a paper towel when you could use like a reusable like cloth? But it's like having to choose over necessities because you don't have the money to choose a certain thing. Bullying. The thing is, like, it's either you realize you don't have something first, or the other children at school realize you are poor. It's like either or. They're either super kind and super helpful and like super understanding, but then again, there's like really mean kids and they're super mean and they will exclude you from things. In my experience, which is kind of like interesting, the school I went to, most of the kids who went there were also like in similar situations, living paycheck to paycheck and things like that, but like their parents were probably doing like slightly better than mine's, or like their parents just decided to spend their money differently. So while my mom was like, nope, you can't get Jordans, and their parents were like, yeah, you can get Jordans, so I didn't have Jordans. Research says, I decided to include my articles, whatever, that children living in poverty are more likely to be in solidarity and have problems with friendships. And I think that's a kind of what I experienced, because it's kind of like an isolating feeling where everybody else seems to have something that you can't have. There's also like friendship, large part of friendship is obviously hanging out together. Hanging out with people is expensive. Like, there's not a lot of free things you can do. There's not a lot of free things you could do with your friends. So you can't like be like, okay, let's go. Your friend will be like, okay, let's go here. And you're like, I can't go there. And I know people are like, invite them over to your house, but being poor, like, what is the home situation? Like, you can't always invite people over because sometimes it's scary and you're afraid you're going to be judged, or it's just like not the best environment for a person to go to. And I feel like the best place would probably be like the park or the library, because those are like places that are actually free. And like, I have so many memories of like being bullied for not having like certain shoes or certain clothes. And I think I talked about like one time this girl was like, you wear the same skirts every day. And like, I had multiple, but at the same time, it was just like, bro, washing machine. Like, either way, like, even if I was, it wasn't your position to call me out and be like, you're wearing the same thing over and over again. Like, not your business what I'm doing. And then, like, I remember begging my mom to get, like, certain shoes or certain clothing so I could get, like, bullied less. Because I'm like, if I had these shoes or if I had this clothing piece, they can't say, oh, you're wearing Skechers. Oh, your shoes are from Walmart. Because they're not from Walmart. They're Jordans. They're Converse. They're whatever else brand. It was, like, certainly isolating because, especially as a child, like, you can't get a job. So there's really nothing you could do about it. You kind of just, like, have to deal with it. And I was like, I don't know, I never really told my parents about it. Maybe I should. That's another story for another time. Since I became like so afraid of the bullying, when the main girl who was bullying me like left and everything, I just kind of went into, I don't want to say, it's not called protection mode, but like when you start doing things to like prevent something else from, I don't know, like you're just like, I started to protect myself because I wasn't quick-witted. I couldn't just come up with stuff to say back to people quickly and other things like that. Like, that's just never been the person I am. So I was just like, if I'm gonna avoid being bullied and I can't change my situation, the only thing I can do is to lie. So I literally started lying, like, to my peers to just avoid bullying. Oh, I just wanted to like separate myself so far from like what was true, and I didn't want to give like people fuel to bully me. Like, I didn't want them to, because I didn't want to tell them the truth and then now they're going to use it against me. Like, no, thank you. For example, I would say our house has 4 bedrooms. Was that true? No, not really. Technically, no, it wasn't true. Whatever. And especially like during Christmas, and they would ask like, what did you get for Christmas? And whatever, whatever. I would be like, oh yeah, like my mom doesn't get me Christmas gifts until this time or to avoid giving them fuel. And I still kind of do that now, even though I don't have to. Like, people like ask about certain things. I'm like, this, even though like it's not necessary because I'm in college, and I'm not saying bullying doesn't happen in college, but it's like different and more, I'm not saying it's like a rare case, because I do think bullying could happen where, but I think it's more, I think it happens more like maybe in like sororities or fraternities. Don't quote me on that though. Like, yeah. Currently, the literature suggests that there's links between low SES. I keep saying SES, and all I think about like is not okay. Anyways, doesn't matter. Victims or bully victims at school, specifically being a victim, has been recorded to be associated with poor parental education, low parental occupations, economic disadvantages, poverty. In addition to studies found that bully victims are also likely to come from low socioeconomic backgrounds, including low maternal education and maternal employment. So like just the way I grew up, like my parents actually did go to college, but the thing is they didn't go to college in America. And when they came to America, they couldn't really do much with the degrees they earned. And, you know, they already had kids and all this stuff. So it's kind of like, let's move on to friendships / experiences. While bullying is also like a thing, and that obviously can affect like your friendships and all of that, another thing is not getting to experience certain things friendship wise because of how much money it costs. Like I said, a lot of things cost money. People would be like, oh, I'm having my birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese or Dave & Buster's or wherever, and I couldn't go because it's Chuck E. Cheese. We don't have Chuck E. Cheese money. The parents already like paid for it in advance. That wasn't something I could go to. Even like inviting, like I was saying before, even like inviting friends over was scary because like your house may be smaller than theirs. And like I said, the thing is like, if you've been bullied before, you kind of just go to like wanting to protect yourself. So you don't want to open yourself up to criticism. You don't want to invite people over and be like, okay, here's my home. And it's like a whole thing. Also, like I said, things cost money. And also like other activities like cost money. Like when I was younger, I always wanted to like learn how to play piano or be a part of gymnastics, but I couldn't. And I hear like other people like, yeah, I was a part of this. And I'm like, I wish I could be a part of that. But it's like now that I'm older, I have to like join the things, and I wish I got to experience them when I was younger, because I feel like it would just been better for me. Obviously, we were like, there's like no age to like start doing things, but I just sometimes like you do miss those experiences because you wanted to. That sentence sounds stupid, but like you miss the experiences that you could have had when you were a child. And when you're adult, it's like different because when you're a child, it's more like carefree. But when you're like older, you have to be like, oh, no, I have work, I have school. Like you have those other things to think about. Even like school events, like field trips or dances or little things like that. Like even when you had to like bring like $2 or $3 for pizza and like the holiday parties that they would have in school, like sometimes what would happen would be like they would literally separate the kids who didn't pay from the kids who did pay. And I feel like that would just made it a lot more isolating. I don't know. Like I got super lucky that my mom always wanted me to like be a part of those type of events that the school put on, because she didn't want me to feel like left out. So she like made sure she like paid for the class parties or like the field trips, which I'm like really grateful for, because if it would just be like another thing I would have missed out on if she like didn't make it a point for me to experience. And like I don't want to have kids, but if I were to have kids, I would always like, I feel like I would be the parent to like give the extra money to the like give the extra money, be like, okay, like yeah, they asked for like $4, but I'm gonna give like $8 or $12 for like the kids who just like don't have the money, because it's already like isolating experience to be poor and things like that. But it's going to be like more isolating if you don't even get to experience like all these other things. And it's like, oh, you didn't get to experience it because you don't have money. Like, you know? But also, other things are like vacations. Like, I'll hear like my friends in college or things like that talk about like, oh, I went out of the country, or when I was younger, I went to these places. And I'm like, I didn't get to experience that like until a little later in my life. Like, I just didn't go on vacations. It wasn't something my family did. Vacations are kind of expensive, if I'm being honest. And if you're living paycheck to paycheck, where would you get the money for that? Eating. Another huge part about growing up poor is food insecurity. And I've seen like a lot more people talk about it. And of course, like, I'm going to say like, yes, of course, food stamps helps, but there are countries that don't have food stamps. And when the month reaches its end and the food stamps balance is finished or close to over, that's when you have to start rationing. And it's really kind of difficult. And also, like, there's, in America, there is a correlation between thinness and having a higher SES, like socioeconomic status. Maybe I should have said what that meant earlier, but SES is socioeconomic status. There's like a whole bunch of studies on it that you could like Google. People in the US and other countries receive government help, but at the end of the month, like, what now? In my case, like, what happened at the end of the month, we were like in food banks and waiting for in lines and like rationing and being like, and having that like uncertainty of when the next meal is gonna come, and if, okay, today I'm gonna be able to eat this, or if today I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna mainly eat what they serve at school because I'm not 100% sure what I'm gonna have at home, or okay, I know I could like, I'll be fine at home. Like, it's kind of just like messing with your eating habits, because when you're growing up, the kids need stability. They don't need to be, you know, experiencing times where it's like, some days it's this and some days it's that. It needs to be a set schedule. So when you have that, it kind of like messes up with your eating habits. So there's times where you're like, when you're older, like, you're binge eating, or you're just not eating at all, or you feel kind of like you have to always have a whole bunch of food in your pantry or your kitchen, just like because it's gonna be gone, or you're like afraid that's gonna run out. It's like this scarcity mindset, and it like also like leads to like eating everything off your plate. You can't just not eat something because there's a little voice in the back of your head being like, when you were younger, like, you didn't have food, and now you're just like not gonna finish your food, and you're just like, oh dang, I just hit the mic. You're not gonna finish the food off your plate. Like, it's like a thing in the back of your mind, and it kind of leads you to like binging and things like that. And Eve, your brain is still in that kind of survival mode. Even though everything's okay now, like, you still will revert back to those old habits because your brain's used to it. Also, there's just like sometimes poorer areas, there's like a food desert where there's not really a lot of access to fresh, healthy foods, and there's a lot of fast food, and it's not very walkable or things like that. It's very car dependent. There's not a lot of parks and places people can exercise, and sometimes it's just not safe to go outside. So people are just less active in general, which is not the best for their health, obviously. And it can literally affect their eating and body habits. That's why there's such a big correlation between obesity and also the next section is education. I grew up in a household that was very big on education. And I think there's like some type of weird like stereotype or stigma growing up poor and like having educational expectations. I don't actually think that's true. Like, I think it's just a stereotype in general that people think that if you grew up poor, then your parents like don't care about your education as much, and that your parents don't have as high of expectations for you. That's far, far, far from the truth. With education system in America, you have to kind of work three times as hard because of the lack of resources you have, especially But I know that now with the internet, it's kind of making it a little easier with schools like getting computers that students could take home and having, you know, cheaper Wi-Fi for people who don't make as much money. So it's kind of getting better. But I've talked about my dislike of the No Child Left Behind Act. Like, I think there was benefits to it, of course, but I just don't necessarily agree with, you know, school funding based on test scores, because went to school where it was a low-income school, like I said before. A lot of the kids already didn't have like the resources. So I saw like teachers having to work like three times as hard, get these students to like do well so they could pass, so they could like get more funding. Like I saw so many free tutorings, and these teachers were not getting paid extra for these tutorings. Like so many of that, literal like the school putting in like money to like give like incentives to make you want to do better on your tests. They used to do like FCAT days. If your teacher saw you doing well while taking the FCAT, they would also the FCAT is like the floor was the FCAT was the Florida standardized test, and then it was the FSA, and now they have the FAST test. I don't know, they change it all the time. The teacher would like write your name down and be like, this person was like, I saw them like actually doing really well on their tests, or like putting a lot of focus and working really hard on their FCAT. So, and then the school, like during lunchtime, they'll like give you McDonald's, or they'll be like, when the scores come out, depending on the score you got, you will get certain prizes. So if you got a 3, they had a barbecue. If you got a 4, then you had a movie night. If you got a 5, they gave you like a McDonald's gift card. And for the writing FSA, it was like a 6. You got to like have lunch with the principal and go to Dave and Buster's. So it was just like all these like incentives that they had to do so they could just like get more kids to do well. And it just like was because of the lack of resources. And I think like obviously like they should have just invested in giving the school more resources. And tutoring in general, like even in college, tutoring costs money. When I was in elementary school, I got lucky because the after school care, aftercare program my school had, they had like teachers who would come and assist you with your homework. And that's just like one of the times, like I would just say, like I just got lucky with that, in my opinion. Now that I'm in college, there's like sometimes people who would think you're lucky because you get like you have you're like EFC, which is like expected family contribution is zero. It's like being like, you're so lucky you're poor. Like it's exactly what it sounds like. You're like, you're so lucky you're poor. Not really. It's like not a lucky experience, but I do sometimes get what they're coming from, especially if they're like middle class type-ish, where like they don't get that much in financial aid, but they still have to, like a good amount to pay for like the expected family contribution. So next part is mental health. Like I said, children growing up, they need stability. Even adults, we need stability. Humans in general just need stability. And constantly having to worry about knowing about money from an early age and worrying about money and being uncertain about if you're gonna be able to pay your bills or feed your family or if you're gonna eat or basic necessities and being bullied for all of that on top of it, it really affects your mental health because it just causes like some self-esteem issues and like scarcity mindset, and you're always like anxious about all these things. So you like grow up being anxious and worried, and when you grow up, those wounds are still there. And that also connects with like next topic about like fear of money. Like people sometimes, I think it was Gary V, and it was like shocking to hear this. So people were like, bro, what is this man going on about? Because he was talking about like, you know who I think who has like a harder time? The guy who's rich, not the guy who's poor. I hate to say it, and I'm not saying like, you know, he can't have his own opinions, but I can have my own opinions too. People, he's like, oh, if you fail, like you have all these expectations to live up. The same thing is when you're poor, you have expectations to live up because now you're in the back of your head, or your family's in the back of your head being like, you need to work like twice as hard to get up to everybody else's level that they were just born with, and you have to like work a whole bunch to do well in things, because your parents or even yourself is probably in your head being like, you can't like live the way we lived, or how do I phrase it, like your parents are in your head being like, I don't want you working the way I work, or I don't want you to be living the way I live. So you kind of have these expectations, like with your parents being like, you have to do well in school and you have to go to a good school and you have to get a high paying career, and your career options become so limited because you don't want to choose a career. Like, I love the thinking about being a teacher, but then again, in my mind, I'm like, teachers don't get paid that much. Like, I don't want to have to live paycheck to paycheck, and I don't want to have to like worry about any of this because I spent my whole life since I was a child worrying about it. I don't want to worry about it. And spending money on some things are just scary. And if you fail, it feels like you're going to lose everything. Whatever little you have, it's all riding on you. Like, if your parents send you to college and they pay whatever, that money is like riding on you. Or if you take a loan out, like, it's just scary. All those things are like riding on you, and you just have this immense fear of failure. So you're like afraid of money and afraid of like losing everything because it's scary. And that also contributes to like not having financial literacy, because getting off poverty is difficult because you have so much to lose, like I said, and there's no cushion. So people will be like, if you just invest in this, but like, how can you invest if you barely have enough to support your family? Invest in what? Bro, like, sometimes when you have that little extra money, it's like, wow, we could take hot showers now. Wow, we could buy floss. Like, we could get the little extra things that everybody else gets. They're like, I think people equate like not making a lot of money or being poor to being like, you can never experience anything fun ever in your life. And anytime you do, it's like, you could invest that money. You also need to invest in your life experiences, because at the end of the day, they're not going to put the money in the grave when you die. What are you going to do with it? Like, when you die, you're not going to be thinking about your money. You're going to be thinking about what you experience. But not having that financial literacy will make it like really difficult to get out of poverty, or really difficult to just get out of like mentality. And sometimes the information you need to like succeed is just out of your reach. It's just like all of this together is difficult to deal with and difficult to work through, because you're going to deal with the mental health aspects and the wounds from that, and you're going to have to work twice as hard in education and in careers to make it and do all of this and feel like you have to do this while also having a feel of failure. And then you're dealing with these mental health things that are difficult and can make you depressed and not want to get out of bed, but also in the back of your mind when you're in bed because of you're depressed, it's like, oh, well, now you're staying in bed and you're gonna fail. Holidays. I remember when I was little, I really loved Christmas. Like, I tell you, nothing can beat the Christmas party when you're like younger. Nothing can beat it. It was just so fun and so good. And I remember ABC Families, it's not Freeform, 25 Days of Christmas, and Disney Channel's Christmas specials. It was such a goated era. I don't know what they're doing now on Disney Channel or whatever, but it was a goated era. Jesse and Good Luck Charlie collaboration, the Good Luck Charlie holiday movie, like, goated. I'm sorry, they were just cooking. I loved Christmas and I wanted so bad for Santa to give me gifts. But the thing is, and I always hate to say this, Santa doesn't exist for poor kids. Santa does not care about poor kids. You're poor. It's the truth. And when I was younger, I was in denial for a few years. I was like, maybe I had been bad and that's why I didn't get any gifts. Which, if I'm being honest, like, growing up, I wasn't that bad of a kid. I'm being honest, like, most of the time I just minded my business and like, I wasn't a bad kid. So why would I get? Then I realized I'm broke. What gifts am I gonna get? The first time I remember experiencing like an actual Christmas was when like one of my uncles had a sleepover and he like brought us gifts, and we woke up on Christmas and opened the gifts and it felt really normal. And I never experienced that before. So it was like probably one of my favorite Christmas memories, because like small little actions like that like can mean a lot to people. And I do think like the little programs, the angel tree, because you, like I said, people are gonna swear to you up and down that Christmas is a holiday about spending time with family and Jesus's birth, or just the holidays in general. But then again, it's mass consumerism. Let's be honest. we make the center of this holiday about gifts, and for people who don't get gifts, it's kind of not the best time. I feel like if you haven't experienced it, you don't really know how shitty it feels, because people are just, I'm telling you, people are going to tell you it's not about the gifts, but it always comes from like people who always like got to experience the normal holidays, and it wasn't like, oh, waking up, no gifts. It's not that you're being materialistic if, like I said, you made a whole holiday about consumerism. I remember 2 years in specific, I went to my cousin's house, and one of my cousins, who I would always compare myself to, had a tree, and I didn't have a tree. They had gifts, and their like family member gave them gifts. Going to their house and have like just watching them open gifts while I got nothing, it just felt weird and bad, because it's like, you just feel left out. And then one of the gifts they got from their aunt, like, they didn't like it. They were like, here, have it. And I was just so happy. Like, even if it was, like, regifted or secondhand, like, I was just so happy to be getting anything. But then I learned I couldn't keep the gift. And I honestly started to cry, because I was like, bro, like, the one time I almost get something and it's just like, nope, you can't have it. It's like when you're in a, actually, I can't even use this analogy because it's like a little more heartbreaking. It's like kind of when you're in a restaurant and you see like the waiter like walking around with food and you're like, oh, that looks like my food. But then they like it's almost like they like try to tempt you like it's your food, but it's no, it's not your food. And they just like walk it to another table and you're like, okay, thank you. And then another one of my cousins got like really expensive gifts and I was like, I didn't get to experience any of that. It's just like, and I know it's jealousy, and but it also feels like you're left out of something, and it just already is difficult. And I know some people think it's silly, but it's the truth. I feel like now I overcompensate for how my childhood felt, like the holidays during my childhood felt, by like buying everybody gifts and spending like copious amounts of money buying me things to like fill the hole. Which I know is like not gonna work, obviously. Like, I'm already aware of that, but like, am I gonna stop? Actually, yes, because this is not okay. I know it's not okay, but at the same time, the pain isn't cheap. Like, it hurts. But at the same time, like, when it's Christmas again, I still feel the same. So, what was the point of buying these items if at the end of the day, it's Christmas again and I still feel the same? Let's get into college. As you know, I'm currently in college. I'm having some career issues, like issues choosing what career I want to go into. And my whole life, I thought I knew I wanted to do something, but then I started to think about it again. And now I'm overthinking it. And I don't know, I feel like I am the person to always have a plan. Not always, like, it's either I'm super spontaneous or I have a plan. And I know some people are just like, just choose whatever makes you the most money. But that's not how I function. Like, I'll be in my job, and I don't hate my job, I swear. Like, it's, out of all the jobs, like, I had, this is, like, one of the best ones. I can't see myself being there long term. Well, like, I can't see myself being there as a career. Because I feel when I'm there, I don't like waking up early, I'm being honest. When I'm there, I just feel like this is not what I want to do. This is not what I feel like in my heart I want to do. Not for me. Like, I just don't see it that way. It's kind of difficult with choosing a career. And the college experience in general is really different when you're low income. All of my friends I know, like, they have jobs. Maybe it's the school I go to. People have jobs. Like, it's not an uncommon thing for people to be working while they're in college. I don't know why, like, TV shows and movies, like, kind of portray it as, like, nobody's working. People have jobs. Even if you do have money, like, a lot of people get jobs because they want the experience, like, for their future careers. I feel like because college seems so secure when you're poor, but at the same time, it's like a financial risk. So it's kind of like having to be very cautious with it. It's kind of like walking on a sidewalk, but like, if you aren't paying attention or you're not being like 100% cautious, then it's like a street where like a car will randomly hit you. An interesting analogy that I made, but going out costs money. Like I said, everything costs money. If you don't drive, you have to Uber, or if you and your friends plan on drinking, you guys, like, Uber costs money, and getting into club costs money, or even parties. And like I was saying, like, while you do get things covered by financial aid, there's like certain things like they're not gonna cover, like your food. There's schools that do have food pantries. My school has one, but it's only like certain amount of there's only a certain amount of food they could give you. Housing, a lot of colleges don't cover fully your housing. Fun, like just fun in general. Taking tests, you have to pay to take tests sometimes or do your homework. For example, like just course materials, honor lock, you have to pay like I think $5 every time you take a test, which isn't that much money, but it's still a thing that you have to pay for. Or my school has like a book bag program where it covers work covers. Sometimes people don't drive, or if you went out of state and your car's at home, like joining clubs, just like in high school, costs money. Some of them are free, some of them cost money. Clothes, especially if you plan on getting a job and you need interview clothes. I know schools let you borrow clothes for the interview, but you have to return them. You can't just keep them. So gas, if you drive, laundry. Laundry at school is expensive. Like, and the dryers are not that good. The washing machines next to my house are significantly better, and they're a lot, like, they're cheaper. And obviously, like, just emergencies, you need money, like, if you get sick or if you randomly have to, like, pay for something that you didn't know you have to pay for. Like, I wanted to take this test, and then I randomly learned I have to pay to take the test. And I'm like, okay, great. And it wasn't cheap either. Also, since college is expensive and financial aid only covers so much, I feel, like, pressure to exert myself to, like, finish quicker, even though I know, like, taking less classes and focusing more on the subjects would be better for me, because I do have like ADHD and it's just easier. And sometimes I'm like in the class and the end of semester comes and I have to like cram, and I'm like, I'm actually interested in this subject and I need this subject for my like future career or for whatever I'm interested in. So I would want to take the time to like actually learn about it, but I feel like I have to finish quicker because it's expensive. What else can I do? Like, I don't also want to be in a constant state of stress. So it's kind of like, which one am I gonna choose? Am I gonna choose spending more money, or am I gonna more stress? You also can experience like the similar thing if you're a chronic procrastinator, which I'm both. So, you know, just great. Also, another thing I talked about is like having the pressure to choose a high paying career. For me, lower paying jobs never felt like an option. Even jobs I paid like 50-60k, not an option. I'm gonna be honest with you, it's not an option, because I just want to make six figures. Like, I don't, or even more, honestly. I don't want to be a billionaire, but like, I want to make a good amount of money where I don't have to think about bills much. I don't want to sit up every night doing extreme budgeting. I don't want to think, okay, if I do this and or all of this, I want to be able to live comfortably. I have goals with things I want that I have always wanted for a long time that I hate to say 50-60k salary is just not going to cover. And also, I just don't want the possibility. I just want a lower possibility of me having to like worry about how much things are going to cost. Like, not that I'm going to be worried about, like, I'm not going to realize certain things cost you money. I'm not going to be, like, completely oblivious. I just don't want to have, like, the constant inkling in the back of my brain that, okay, this is going to cost this. I'm not going to have enough money, or I'm not going to be able to do the certain things I've always wanted to do. I don't want to be older and living paycheck to paycheck. That's just, like, the main thing. I don't want it at all. And nor do I want to rely on a man to pay. Like, I don't want, it's not that, like, I understand, like, if I'm married, I could understand splitting bills, like, depending on how much money you make. You know how people tell, like, people want to go into, like, education and be teachers, like, oh, you better marry rich. Like, I don't want to have that. Like, do I want to marry rich? Kind of. But I don't want to have to be like, okay, I have to marry rich, or I have to do these things. Limited career options, and I don't want to put myself through a lot of stress. I feel like one of the main reasons I chose to go into medicine, even though like there's things I don't necessarily like about being a doctor, like the over exerting yourself like forever, like, and all that, and med school super expensive, and also I don't like that interactions between a doctor and a patient, like how short they are, because sometimes I feel like the doctor's just trying to leave the door before I could like fully explain things, and I would prefer if that wasn't the case. I don't want to feel like they're rushing to get out. At the same time, like, I don't know what I want to go into. I don't know. If you have any career options, or yeah, like career options or career ideas you have for me, I'm really into psychology. I'm not really super into business. I don't really want an office or desk job. Like, now it's like, it's okay if I have an office or desk job for now, but I'm talking about like 10 years into the future. That's not what I want. 15 years. No, I'm not really fully into business. Like, yes, but also no. I really like health. I like to write. The thing is, like, some of the careers that I want, they're just risk. And when you're poor, or when you grew up poor, you can't really take risk. You have to be safe. And is that sometimes going to be limiting yourself and your potential? Yes. But it's kind of like you have to do two things at once. So if I want to write a book, or if I want to do things that are more creative that aren't always as steady, then I have to also do something that is steady on top of that. So if I want to write a book, right, I'm going to write the book on the side while like I have another career. And in conclusion, being poor is just an interesting situation to be in. And obviously, I didn't want this to come off as, whoa, it's, well, me, like, this is, I just wanted to say, like, my story. And I'm like, I'm trying, you know, it is a difficult thing to work through. You know, if you grew up poor, or you grew up low income, and you're trying your best to make it out or do better or achieve stuff, then I'm really happy for you, and I'm really proud of you, because I know for a fact it's not easy. On top of it not being easy, there's going to be so many people who have the upper hand, who are going to tell you that you have the upper hand, or that you're taking their spot, or that you aren't working hard enough, or all these other things when you're doing your best. So just try to do your best. And also, probably, like, if you have health insurance, maybe talk to somebody about it. Schools offer therapy and things like that, which that's what I've been doing, because I don't know, it is a traumatic experience. Like, it's stressful. You don't really want those wounds to be bleeding into your adult life much. So yeah, that's all. I feel like I yapped for such a long time. Hope you enjoyed. I'm Jane. You could follow me on my socials. Oh, like I said, I remembered. I'm going to put the questions. Make sure you answer them if you want to. I don't know, if you don't want to. Like, what am I going to do? Force you to do it? Say stuff. Do things. Whatever you want to do. Anyways, I'm outie.